Matthew chapter 21. I'm only going to share with you a few minutes this evening so that we can have some time of prayer. But this is the direction that I felt the Lord leading for our message tonight as we prepare our hearts for an even more intense time of prayer, where we each will be crying out to the Lord in whatever way that we feel comfortable, but we want to take time to seek His face. Matthew chapter 21, we'll begin reading with verse 8. Matthew 21 and 8. It says, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.' Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant, they were angry. And they said to Jesus, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise?' Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, this is your word, and we are your people. And Lord, we've come here desiring to hear from you. Lord, we don't want to hear the words of man. We want to hear the words of God. So Lord, we ask that you remove every hindrance, every obstacle, and every barrier, and allow us, Lord, to be tuned in and focused in on that which the Holy Spirit has to speak to us tonight. So Lord, have your way and speak this word from your throne in heaven to your throne in our hearts, that we may be changed by the power of your creative word. And God, we will give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, because it is your word and not our own. And you, Lord, are deserving of all the glory. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. Today, of course, is Palm Sunday. And in your Sunday school classes, we talked about Palm Sunday. In the children's classes, they went through and they looked at all these different aspects of Palm Sunday. And the song that was sung and the shouts that were made as Jesus rode into Jerusalem and made his way to the temple. It's interesting because Jesus comes, and as he comes into the city of Jerusalem, they're saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But the whole concept of what is being saved or what is being said is Hosanna means God save us or God save the king. And so as they're crying out, they're not just crying out for their own salvation. They're not just crying out for their own individual deliverance, but they're crying out for their nation, believing that somehow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has shown up in Jerusalem, and now he is getting ready to establish his kingdom here on earth. And so as he comes in and the crowd is waving the branches and they're taking off their jackets and they're throwing them down on the ground to make a special place for that donkey to walk over, they don't really recognize everything that's going on. They recognize that the king has come, but if he's the king, then you would think that his donkey ride is going to take him to the palace. It's going to take him to where King Herod is. It's going to take him to where the throne is. That's what they're all thinking. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. They're talking about his kingdom. They're talking about the fact that he's a king. And they've all prepared for him to come. And as he goes farther and farther down that road, he's not going to the palace. He's not going to the throne. Instead, he takes a detour. Now, not far from where David's palace had been, you have another place that's even greater. Not Herod's palace, but what they called Herod's temple. And the coats and the branches get a little bit closer and closer to Herod's temple. And with every step along the way, the people are rejoicing, and especially the young people are rejoicing. They're crying out. Because their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents have been looking forward to this day all of their lives. And these kids have heard about it all of their lives. And now they're seeing it happen in front of them. But as they get closer and closer to the temple, something happens to the crowd. All of the city begins to be astir and a buzz, trying to figure out what's going on. And they say, Jesus is here. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the King. He's the Son of David. And he's come into town. And again, everyone's expecting that he's on his way to the palace. But instead of going to the palace, he turns over toward the temple. And he keeps going to the temple. And when he finally gets to the temple, if you read what we just got through reading, it's the children that are gathered together at the temple praising. Makes you wonder, what happened to the rest of the multitude? What happened to the rest of the crowd? Where did they go? They probably went on to Herod's palace. Thinking, well, surely Jesus isn't going to stay over there at the temple all day. He's got a destiny over here at the throne, not over there at the temple. He's not a priest, he's a king. Are you with me tonight? But you see, the chief priests and the scribes, the Pharisees in particular, they knew that Jesus wasn't going to be going to Herod's temple. As a matter of fact, they had been trying to teach the people for years that when the Messiah came, one of the things he was going to do was he was going to restore the law. He was going to bring the law to a place where it would be a law for all of mankind. It was not just going to be a law for the Jews. It was going to be a law for every single person, regardless of how old they were or how young they were. Now, this is what you need to understand about the law. The law was so hard, nobody could follow it. And because nobody could follow the law, every year they had to have a sacrifice to forgive everybody for breaking the law. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could drive 150 miles an hour and break the law, and all you had to do was pay a sacrifice and just keep on going, and it wouldn't show up on your record? Doesn't quite work that way anymore. You pay a sacrifice, but after a while, you lose your license. These people had become so accustomed to breaking the law, and the Pharisees were saying, hey, you know what? When the Messiah comes, one of the proofs that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, is he's going to restore the law, and everybody's going to be able to live according to the law because of something that the Messiah is going to do. So they knew that the Messiah wasn't going to be going to the throne. Instead, he was going to come to the place where the law was being executed. And this is the law of God that we're talking about. So he was coming to the temple. So Jesus shows up at the temple. And all of a sudden, the chief priests and the scribes are now paying attention. Because if he truly is the Messiah, he has to restore the law. Not the law of you got to pay this and you got to pay that. And you can only drive so fast. If your donkey goes more than 10 miles an hour, you get a ticket. Not that kind of a law. It was the law of God. And so they're anticipating he's going to come through and teach them all how that they can have no other gods before God, how that they will not kill and will not steal and they will not covet, and all the wonderful Ten Commandments that are there. And he shows up, and the first thing that he does is he gets upset. And he finds those that have been taking advantage of people in the temple, and he drives them out. They've been selling merchandise that they shouldn't have been selling. Now there is a part of the law that had been created so that people could come and they could make an exchange to get a sacrifice. So if you didn't have your own sheep or your own doves, you could come in and you could buy one for your sacrificial offering. That was an aspect of the law that existed. And he comes in and says, you guys are taking advantage of the law so you can take advantage of the people. And you're making it so that none of them are able to give good sacrifices. Now, I want you to listen, because we're about to go someplace here. Jesus comes in, and he overturns their tables, and he drives them all out because they didn't have the right focus. They weren't focused on the right things when they came into the house of God. And he says, instead of all of this, he said, my house is to be called a house of, what was that? A house of what? A house of singing and dancing. Well, you know what? You can have singing and dancing and pray. It's supposed to be a house of get-rich-quick schemes. It's supposed to be a house of the prosperity gospel. It's supposed to be a house of healing. Healing comes through prayer, right? It's supposed to be a house where everybody comes to party. Party, folks. You know what? There are things out of all that stuff that I just mentioned, there are aspects of that that can come through prayer. But when they focused on any one of those aspects without focusing on the prayer, they got farther and farther away from the heart of the law. Because the heart of the law was not bring in a sheep and bring in a lamb and bring in a dove and kill it and burn it and eat some of the meat. That wasn't the heart of the law. The heart of the law was not come in and make a trespass offering, come in and offer some wine and offer some grain and offer some oil to the Lord. That was not it. It was not come and pay your tithes. That was not the heart of the law. All those things stemmed from the heart of the law. The heart of the law was God wanted a place where his people would gather together to spend some time talking to Daddy. Abba, Father. God was looking for a place where they could come together and seek him. You know, Jesus had said that the greatest commandment was not honor your father and your mother. Though, kids, that's an extremely important one. Joshua and Ian, it's double important for you. It was not about that. The greatest aspect of the law was not do not kill. It was not do not steal. Not do not covet, not don't commit adultery or fornication. The greatest aspect of the law, he said, the number one commandment is love God with everything you are. You see, when you love God with everything that you are, you want to talk to him. You want to spend time with him, right? If you really love someone, you want to spend time with them, right? You want to be around them. You want to listen to what they have to say, and you want to share what's on your heart. And Jesus comes in to the temple and he says the whole reason that God let you even build him a house here on earth was so that you could come and spend some time talking to your daddy who loves you, who cares about you, who wants to take care of every single thing that is going on in your life. But you've turned it into a den of thieves. You've tried to take advantage of it for your own gain so that you can get your own way. How many of you, when you go to pray, it's all... Now, I'm not going to ask for a sign of hands. How many of you, when it comes time to pray, it's all about what you can get from God? Amen, oh me. How many of you, when you have your prayer time, your list of your prayers is more like your wish list come Christmas? I need this. I want this. I've got to have this. Now, I said nobody to raise their hands, but if there was somebody who needed to raise their hand, you're looking at him. How many times does our prayer time become focused on us? And we try to manipulate the house of God. We try to manipulate the prayer to God. We try to manipulate the time with God to get what we want instead of getting to a place where God can tell us what he wants. You see, on this day, the multitudes had gathered together and they were shouting out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're praising, they're worshiping, they're having a wonderful time. Things are great, things are wonderful. But when they get to the temple, it's just the young ones that are still there that are singing the song. When they get to the temple, it's not the big number and the great multitude that it was. Some people suggest that it was because they were afraid of the chief scribe or the chief priests and the scribes, and so therefore the adults were being silent. In some of the passages, it tells us that Jesus looked to these people and said, if these little ones were to be quiet, the rocks would cry out. Why? Because there is something about coming into the presence of the Lord and just spending time talking to Him, singing to Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, and then letting Him speak back to you. You see, too many times we forget that prayer is two-way communication. God still speaks to us. Heard the stories of some of these young people when they were at Winterfest and how that the Lord was moving and the things that God was doing in their lives. This last Sunday, we saw some of these young people as they were crying out, just laying their hearts on the altar and crying out for God. That's awesome. That's wonderful. You know what? God is speaking to their hearts and to their lives. But if they ever get to the place where they stop letting God speak, then that prayer time suddenly becomes void and empty. It becomes a ritual. And the prayers won't go any farther. We got to take time to let God speak to us. Speak into us what He wants us to know, what He wants us to be, where He wants us to go, what He wants us to do. We got to take that time to get alone with Him. Now, pay attention to what we've read. Jesus has come in. The multitudes had gathered together. They had been worshiping. They had been praising. He comes into the temple. He cleans it out. And He says, you know what? This place is supposed to be a house of prayer. It's all about prayer. Restoring the law in one simple thing, He says, it's all about prayer. And once He restores the law, the next thing that the Pharisees are looking for is the ability and the power to heal, as well as the ability and the power to raise the dead. These are the signs that they're looking for to identify who the one is that's the Christ, that's the Son of God, who can take away our sins. These are the things they're looking for. So He's come in and He's already declared that the law is simply coming together in this. God wants to spend time with you and He wants you to spend time with Him. That's pretty easy when you stop and think about it. And then the next thing that you know, all of a sudden the blind and the lame are coming into the temple to where He is. Now, I want you to understand, we had the diagram of the temple up here this morning. You know what? He wasn't inside the building. He was outside the building in the courtyard. And the people were coming in through one of the different gateways, coming into the temple yard. And there they would come, and the blind and the lame were coming, and it said He healed them. He healed them. Why? He got them back to the heart of the law, which was all about prayer. And when He got them back to the heart of the law, back to the fact that they needed to be spending time talking to God, the next thing you knew, those who couldn't see were suddenly able to see. Those who couldn't walk were suddenly able to walk. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be excited to see people that have no eyeballs in their head suddenly have eyeballs. I would be excited to see people whose bones and muscles and sinews and all in their legs have atrophied away and they have nothing but a stick there from their hip down. I would be absolutely excited to see them all of a sudden stand up and everything, the muscles to be there all of a sudden just instantaneously. I'd love to hear the sound of all those bones and joints popping into place so that person could get up and walk. I would love to be at a service like that. But Jesus said, you got to come into the house of prayer. And when they came into the house of prayer, knowing that Jesus was there, He healed them. And now the Pharisees are saying, hey, 2 out of 3 He's met. 2 out of 3 of the requirements He's met. What are we going to do? He's met 2 out of the 3 requirements. The only requirement that's left is the requirement of resurrection, the requirement of bringing people back to life. And we've already heard that He did that over in Bethany. We've already heard that a man by the name of Lazarus has come back to life. We've got a problem on our hands, and they begin to become angry. even though they've been talking about him coming for generations, now they're getting upset when he finally shows up because he's not showing up like they thought he would. The crowd that had gathered thought they were going to go with him all the way to Herod's palace, but he didn't. He went to the temple. The Pharisees, who had been preparing the people for years to see the Messiah, thought he was going to come and teach them how to live by the law, point by point, every single aspect of the law, until everybody was perfect. And when he shows up, he says it's all about praying and spending time having a relationship with God. And now they've got a problem because the blinded eyes are being opened and the lame are getting up and walking and running and leaping and dancing. And now they've got a real problem because this isn't the way they expected it to be. And so they come to him and they said, you know what, Jesus, we've got a problem. Notice where the problem is according to them. Notice the thing that made them the most angry. It was the fact that the children were praising him. They weren't angry because he told the people, you got to pray. Because they knew that that was really the heart of the matter. They weren't angry because he was healing the blind and the lame. That's all good stuff, right? It's great stuff. Makes for a wonderful service. They were angry because the children were praising. Because the children were worshiping. And Jesus said, haven't you read, it's out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants that I have perfected praise. Some translations say called forth praise. When you go back to the actual prophecy, it says ordained praise. Out of the mouths of the children. Now let me ask you something. Let's be honest. Who taught the children how to praise? It wasn't the priests. It was their moms and dads. The moms and dads who kept on going to the palace instead of to the temple, they were the ones who had taught them how to praise and how to worship. In some cases, their moms and dads may not have known how to praise and worship. Somebody became a surrogate parent to them and taught them how to praise and worship. So when they identified that Jesus was the Messiah, they didn't turn and go the wrong way. They went wherever he went and continued to praise. Your example goes beyond you. How you praise goes beyond you. If you praise, it will go beyond you to a whole new generation. And even if you don't end up being able to see all of the fulfillment of all the prophecies and the dreams that you've been looking forward to, if you keep on praising, it goes on to a whole spiritual generation that are your descendants, and they will stand up and they will recognize who Jesus is, and they will glorify him and they will praise him, even when all the religious wackos get out there and say, you gotta shut that stuff up. They're gonna keep on praising. And Jesus is gonna point to the fact that this is perfect praise, ordained of God. Why? Because they're identifying that Jesus is there. Are you with me tonight? Is Jesus here tonight? One of the most striking verses that you're going to find in the entire passage is the last verse that we read. Because after Jesus has been ushered in by this huge crowd, out of which many of them just 5 days later are going to cry out and say, crucify him. After he has come into the temple and he's restored the law back to relationship with God, after he's driven out the money changers, after he's driven out the thieves, after he's been identified by the lame and by the blind as somebody who can heal, after he's had his discourse with the religious leaders, after the children have had the opportunity to be seen and known that they're praising and worshiping him as they welcome him into the temple, now something happens. It says he left them and went to Bethany and lodged there. Scripture speaks to us about how that Jerusalem missed their day of visitation. because they did not recognize who he was. Folks, we can't afford to miss our day of visitation. How are we going to recognize our day of visitation? We're going to go with Jesus into the house of prayer. And in the house of prayer, we're going to have some one-on-one time with God. We're going to have some corporate time with God. We're going to praise Him. We're going to worship Him. We're going to glorify Him. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or what anybody else says. It's between you and God. And in that moment, God is going to step in and He's going to heal the blinded eyes and He's going to heal the lame legs and He's going to make it so that the people of God can stand up and walk and march. They can stand up and they can see things they've not seen before. They can have fresh revelation in their lives. Why? Because Jesus wants to meet with us in the house of prayer. But we've got to be willing to go there and to spend that time with Him. If the average American prays less than 15 minutes a week, if the average pastor prays less than 15 minutes a day, then is the church in America a house of prayer? Something has to change. Something has to shift. Or the next generation will have to go without us. And hopefully they will have picked up enough to know where to go. Because if they don't go with Him to the temple, they'll go to some other temple, some other place, and worship God only knows what. But we will set the example here. This is a house of prayer. Amen. Amen. Will you stand tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first thing that I want us to do is tonight, as we go into this season of prayer, I want us to take all of our personal prayers, all of our personal needs, and I want us to right now just lay them all at His feet. I want us to concentrate whatever it is that we need, because like I said, if anybody was going to raise their hands and say that many times our prayer list is more like a wish list, that's me. I want us to take those things and I want us to lay them at the feet of the Lord, because there are some things that we need to focus on praying tonight. So right now, as we go to the Lord in prayer, the first thing that I want you to do is I want you to search your heart and see if there's anything that you need to turn over to God. The blind and the lame, they had a physical, personal need that needed to be met that day. And the Lord met it. So if you have a personal need in your body, in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your family, whatever it might be, we're going to turn that over to the Lord. And then we're going to leave it there with Him as we begin to turn our focus toward the prayer focus for the church of God. All right? So right now, however you feel comfortable, right where you are, just begin to pray. Just begin to submit those things to Him. Lord, in Jesus' name, we submit all these things to You, Lord. We submit to You, Lord, our needs. We submit to You, Lord, our wants. We submit to You, Lord, our desires. God, we know that You want to meet every need. You want to take care of all of these things. And so, God, we submit them to You, Lord. We lay them down at Your feet. Lord, we submit to You our needs for provision. We submit to You our needs for healing, Lord. We submit to You our needs for direction. We submit to You, Lord God, every single need, Lord. Many of us, God, we're struggling with finances, Lord. We submit that need to You. God, we lay it down at Your feet. We trust in You, Lord God. So we lay these things down before You, whatever our needs might be, God. Right now, in Jesus' name, we cry out to You and we lay it down before You. Lord, many of us, we have unsaved loved ones. We have unsaved friends, Lord. We bring them before You. We lay them down at Your feet, God. We just leave them right there before You. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord God, we begin to make a transition. And the way we make that transition, God, is we make it through praise. We make it through worship. We make it through honoring You, because You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Lord, even as they cried out almost 2,000 years ago, Hosanna, God, we cry out, Hosanna, God save us. God save us. Lord, we cry out to You because You are the King. You are blessed. You are coming in the name of the Lord. God, we honor You. We adore You. We praise You. We magnify You.
We exalt you, Lord, from the depths of our heart with everything that we are, Lord God. We pour out our praise. We pour out our thanksgiving. God, we honor you, Lord, with everything that we are. Lord, we know that we are not much, but God, we give you what little we are. We submit it to you, Lord, as an act of worship, as an act of praise. Lord God, we come to you. We honor you, Lord, even as if we were stripping off the robes of this world and laying them before you to prepare a way for you, Lord God. We strip ourselves off, and God, we lay ourselves down before you, Lord, in honor, in worship, in adoration, that God, you may come in. Lord God, we honor you. We praise you, Lord. You are blessed, Lord God, and you are the blessor. God, you are blessed and you are the blessor. You are holy, you are holy, you are holy, Lord God. The whole earth is full of your glory. And we honor you tonight, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. With all that we are, Lord God, we praise you. We thank you because you hear us when we pray. We thank you, Lord God, because you're aware of our circumstances. We thank you, Lord God, because you already have a plan. You already have a way. And Lord God, you're going to work everything for good. God, we thank you and we praise you because you do not make mistakes. We glorify you, God, because you have established us and you have strengthened us. We worship you, Lord, because you allow us to come into your presence. You allow us, Lord, to come before you. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. We adore you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We just praise you. Lord Jesus, we praise you in this place tonight. Lord, we honor you, we glorify you, we exalt you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. It's all about you, God. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We honor you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. With all that we are, God, we just worship you tonight. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You're welcome here. You're welcome here, Lord. Not just for 5 days and then we'll crucify you. Lord, you're welcome here every day. You're welcome in this life. You're welcome in this tabernacle. You're welcome in this temple every day, Lord God. You're welcome here. Oh, Lord, we welcome you here. We welcome you, Lord. You are our King. You are our salvation. You are everything that we have need of. And God, we honor you, we praise you, and we adore you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And Father, even as we're praising you, Lord, there are some things, Lord, that we need to bring to you. Father, just as Jehoshaphat called all the people together and said, let's pray and seek God together. Lord, we've come together, Lord, to seek you for a corporate need. Lord, we've come together, we as a local congregation, Lord, we need to know what you want us to do. God, what do you want us to do? Lord, we do not believe that you intend to close this church down. We believe, Lord, you intend to bring to pass every prophecy that we've received, every word that's been spoken, every dream that's been dreamt, that, Lord, this place would be full of your glory, and this place, Lord, would be full of those that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. So God, we corporately, we come to you and we say, God, what is your plan? God, what do you desire? Lord, there are different plans that are coming about. There are different ideas and different things, Lord, that we're looking at that we want to be able to do. But God, we want your plan. We want your will. We want you to guide us. How is it that we can reach this community with the gospel of Jesus? How is it, Lord God, that we can reach out to the drug addicts, that we can reach out to the drug dealers? How is it, Lord God, that we can reach out to the prostitutes and the pimps? How is it, Lord God, that we can reach out to the Johns? How is it, Lord, that we can reach out to the alcoholics? How is it, Lord God, that we can reach out to the broken families? How is it, Lord, that we can reach out to all of these, Lord, that need to be restored and healed in you? Lord, what is it? God, do we need to change everything or do we need to add something? God, what do you want for us to do? How do you want us to reach the lost? Is it just simply going out and knocking on doors like we did 20 years ago? Or Lord, is there a way that is more fruitful that you have called us to for this hour that we're living in? God, we've looked at so many different things, but now, God, we need you to bring to the surface what you desire for this congregation. What is it, Lord, that you want us to do? Lord, we are dependent upon you. God, we've been dependent upon men. We have tried different things. We have tried different ways. And God, it hasn't worked. God, we're depending on you. What do we need to do to reach the lost around us? What do we need to do to see transformation come to this community all around us, God? We want you, Lord God, to step in and to take the steering wheel. And Lord God, to direct us into the harvest the way, Lord, that you've always intended for us to go. Lord, we're grateful for what you've done in the past. Now, Lord God, help us to connect to what you've done in the past and to bring something today that'll look brand new. But God, you're the same God that was back there in the past. You're the same God who's here right now, and you're the same God who's going to be here tomorrow. So, Lord God, bring that continuity that only you can do so that, Lord, we can reach out and make a difference. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord God, and direct us as a church. Direct us, Lord, as a congregation. Hallelujah, Lord. God, this church is 90 years old. 90 years old. Sarah was 90 years old when Isaac was born. Lord God, help us to be willing to give birth to Isaac. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, this is our 90th year. Help us to know how to celebrate that. Help us to know, Lord God, how to honor our past as we look forward to our future. Help us, Lord God, to find that balance. Lord, help us to know what the best way is to celebrate so that it won't be just an event, but God, it will be something that will make the city of Huntington stronger. Help us to know, Lord God. Help us to know. Have your way in this church, Lord. God, we submit it to you. Lord, as pastor, I submit my aspect as the pastor to you. And Lord, I pray that you would deal with the members of submitting their aspect of this church as members to you. Because God, this building is only a tool in your hand. And you can use it in greater ways than we ever could. So God, we submit to you. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Now, Lord God, the next aspect, the next focus that we have in our time of prayer for our denomination, the Church of God, with headquarters in Cleveland, Tennessee. God, we don't know what you have for this denomination, but Lord, you've always desired that this denomination would be a movement, that it would be something alive, that it would be something, Lord God, that brings life everywhere it goes. And yet, Lord God, here in the country that we began in, Lord, we don't see as much life here as we see in all the other countries where we're ministering right now. Lord God, we've got missionaries coming from overseas, coming to America to try and win us because we're lost. How did that happen? God, our denomination needs you to move. We need you, Lord God, to step in and to do a powerful work in the churches of God. Lord, we pray for our leadership, that God, you would give them wisdom. We pray, Lord God, for our general overseers. We pray, Lord, for Brother Culpepper, that you would grace him, Lord God, with supernatural wisdom. We pray, Lord God, for all of his assistants, God, for Brother Hill and for Brother Griffiths, God. We pray that you would grace them. We pray, Lord God, for Brother Williams, that you would grace him. We pray for Brother Walker, Lord, that you would grace him. Grace these men of God. Father, we pray for Brother Sibley, our very first African-American leader to be elected to a high position within our denomination. God, we pray that you would grace him and that, God, you would give him wisdom. And that, Lord, as a result of what you're doing, our churches will finally look beyond the races and just see the human race. That, God, instead of falling down when we deal with races, God, we'll be talking about the good fight of faith and the race and the course that is laid out before us to run. God, do a work in our denomination. And Lord, as all of the leaders from all of the states and from World Missions and from the offices in Cleveland, as they all come together the end of this month to seek your face for how to make the necessary changes so that the local churches can be stronger as a result, God, we pray, Lord, that you will grace that meeting, that God, it won't be a fight, that it won't be a spiritual bloodbath, but that God, they will come in and they will have unity of heart and unity of mind, and that Lord, in Jesus' name, they will be able to bring to the table something, Lord, that is doable, that is workable, that will help all of the churches around this world. God, 6 million people around this world call themselves by the name Church of God. Lord, help that 6 million to turn into 12 million as a result of what you do. Finally, Lord, we come to the overall focus, the greatest focus of all, the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, on this Palm Sunday, we declare that you are our King. And you're not our King to be crucified this time. You are our King to reign. And so, Lord God, it is your kingdom that we seek after. It is your righteousness that we proclaim. God, it is you, Lord. It is all about you. Lord, as we prayed for our local church, God, our local church is a part of your kingdom. As we prayed for the denomination of the Church of God, the churches of God are a part of your kingdom. Lord God, reign over your kingdom. Be king over your kingdom. And allow, Lord God, for there to be a fresh revival, a renewal, Lord God. Lord, let it be like the day of Pentecost and even greater. Because, Lord, what you began almost 2,000 years ago should be coming to a crescendo before Christ returns. God, the last great awakening was not 100 years ago. It should be here and now within your kingdom. So God, we cry out to you for the kingdom, that God, it will be revealed. That Lord, all around us, people will be drawn into the kingdom. Lord Jesus, you said that all the way from the law and the prophets up to John the Baptist, that there had been a violent movement in the kingdom. But that since the time of John, Jesus, when you began to declare the gospel of the kingdom, you said that people are pressing into the kingdom. Lord, it's hard for us to see that where we are, but yet, Lord God, in other countries, they're coming to you in thousands. And in some countries, they're coming to you the entire country. Lord, let us see your kingdom right here. Lord, let us see your kingdom not only in this local church and not only in the churches of God, but God, in every single church that calls upon the name of Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth even as it is in heaven. Because God, it's your kingdom. Lord Jesus, it's all about you. So Lord, we come to you and we submit these prayers to you. We say, God, work in whatever way that you want. We submit them to you, Lord God. We don't even know how it all needs to be done. We just know it needs to be done. So God, we bring it to you. We submit it to you and say, God, have your way with the local church, with the denomination, with your kingdom, God. Have your way. And Lord God, let it be revealed everywhere that we go. Give us fresh revelation, Lord. Give us fresh revelation as we return to the house of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, Lord God, we just begin to praise you. We worship you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We glorify you. God, you are worthy of all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. There is no other God but you. You are not a man, Lord God. You are greater than all of man, and you would never share your glory with another. You will show your glory, but you will not share it, for no one else may attain it. You are great, God, and we love you with all that we are. With all that we are. Hallelujah.